Take your Bibles tonight, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Many years ago, there came out a chorus, and it was, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Maybe you know it. Let's all sing it right now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Tonight we're going to talk about praising God. Last week, we went through the doxology, Jude verses 24 and 25. And that led to praise for God's keeping power and God's staying power. But you know, we need to focus on God. And we need to praise on Him. In Psalm 100, it says here, it says, and I don't have it up on the screen tonight. We're going to have to use a Bible, okay? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is in everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. There are three things that we see in this, but you know what we need to do? We need to praise God. Amen. Every day should be a day that we praise God. And if we don't, we're missing the point. We need to praise God from the actions of praise. In verses 1 and to 3 here, we see there's three things here that we need to praise God for. First of all, we need to praise God by saying God. By saying God. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Basically, what this means is translated as have a gumption or have an impact or make a religious statement. It's a religious impulse to praise God. Every day we live, we should have an urge, an unction to praise God. You know why we need to say God? Because you ought to. You ought to. It says in Psalm chapter 45, verse 1, it says, my heart is inditing a good matter. Does your heart lead you to praise? It should indict a good matter. We think on the things of God, and that should cause us to praise. He says, I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You know, our tongue needs to be God's words. Yeah. Needs to be used by God. So we say the things of God so we can praise Him. You know, we need to say God because we ought to. We ought to praise, say God because you want to. You know, there's one thing to know what you need to do. It's another whole thing to do it. It's another whole thing to do it. I love this church for its singing. You all sing very well. I love all the special music that we have. Because it is uplifting. But you know, we all need to do this. And in Psalm chapter 35, verse 28, it says, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. You know, Philippians 4:8 says that we're supposed to think on all the things that bring virtue. If there be any what? Praise. Think on these things. So the first thing in the actions of praise is that we actually have to say praise. We have to say God. In verse 2, there's another thing. We need to serve God. And we need to be serving God. You know, it's hard to praise God if you're not serving Him.
Amen. Come on.
It's hard to convince anyone that you're a follower of God if you do nothing for Him. He inhabits the praise of His people. And it says here, serve the Lord with gladness. What we need is we need the proper perspective. In Psalm 32, verse 11, it says, be glad in the Lord and what? Rejoice. When you think of God, you can't help but being glad. And when you're glad, you can't help from rejoicing. Ye righteous, and shout for what? Joy. You know, we shout at ball games. We shout at drivers being dingbats on the road. Why can't we shout to God for joy?
Amen.
And so, all ye that are what? Upright in heart. So, let that go where it is, okay? So the first thing is we need to say God because we ought to. And because we want to. The second thing is we need to be serving God. And we need to have a proper perspective. We said, serve the Lord with gladness. And we need to have the proper presence. In the second part of this, it says, come before His presence with singing. You know, every time that we come in God's presence ought to be a joyful thing. Not unless you're backslidden and you're in sin. And then it'll be a joyful thing once you get that sin eliminated. In Psalm 105, verse 4 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. I am finding out that I don't seek God as much as I need to. I need to seek God in everything that I do. There's an opportunity to have a good testimony in everything. You know something? It will change the way you live. It'll give you different situations what you had before. And things that you thought were small become pretty large for God. So the first thing is we need to be saying God. That's the action of praise. Then we need to be serving God, because you can't praise someone that you're not working for. Now, you don't praise your boss, probably. Okay? But this is a whole lot different. This is a whole lot different. Lastly, we need to, actions of saints, we need to be seeking God. It says, know ye not, or know ye that the Lord, He is God. We need to be seeking God for His position. He is God. Psalm 95, verse 3 says this, for the Lord is a great God.
Amen.
And a great King above what? All gods. In Colossians chapter 1, everything, He's above all things. And without Him, everything consists. So we need to seek God for His position. We need to seek God for His power. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You know what got Israel in trouble? When He said it was because of our status with God we got all this stuff. Really, we were pretty good people, and therefore God blessed us. And Moses told them, that's what you're going to do. Joshua told them, that's what you're going to do. God knew what they were going to do. And then they said, you're a stiff-necked people.
Right.
Folks, we don't deserve anything from God.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't deserve His mercy. We don't deserve His grace. We don't reserve His benefits. But we need to be seeking Him.
Right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His what? His righteousness. All these things we added unto you. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that covers the whole bit right there. So we need to be seeking God for His position. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. He is not a God. He is God.
Right.
It is He that hath made us and not ourselves. And the last thing is for His possession of us. Paul writes, he says, know ye not that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul writes, he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The psalmist here in verse 3 says this. It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God made us who we are physically. God makes us who we are spiritually. God keeps us, as Jude says, and we need to praise Him for that. Amen. So the actions of praise is that we need to say God, we need to serve God, and we need to seek God. In verse 4, there are the attitudes of praise. There's three attitudes that we need when we're talking about praising God. The first one is an attitude of going. It says here in verse 4, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. I'm encouraged by all of you to come to church on a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, because you want to seek God. It's hard to find God, it's hard to praise God, if you're not in God's house. Hebrews 10 says we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be going. In John chapter 6, verse 37, Christ gives a promise. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall what? Come to me. You know, it's a requirement to come and worship God. He told the woman at the well that you need to worship God in spirit and in truth. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, why is this called a sanctuary? Because we can get away from the world and we can commune with God. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, oh, what a promise, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. What a promise. That should give us an attitude of praise. Yes. By going into His house, going where He wants us to go. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The second thing we need to do is what the psalmist says here in verse 4. Be thankful unto Him. We need an attitude of gratitude. So first of all, we need to be going. The second thing is we need gratitude. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 says this. And let the peace of God, what? Rule in your hearts. Now this rule thing, it's not part time. It's all the time. And everything that we do.
Right.
And to the which also ye are what? Called in one body, and be ye thankful.
Amen.
Be ye thankful. So there's actions of praise, of seeking God, and saying God, and serving God. There's attitudes of praise, going to the place of God, going to where God wants you to go, and be thankful about it for gratitude. And then the last thing is glorifying. In verse 4 it says, and bless His name. The word for bless means to glorify Him, or to lift Him up, or to exalt here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This morning we talked at the conclusion of the service about what is the will of God. The will of God is for all of us to get saved. The will of God is to be conformed to His image. The will of God is to be thankful. So if you're not a thankful person, if you're a little stick in the mud or you're just a prickly pear, you're out of God's will.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's flat out of God's will. Okay? It says in everything, when that guy cuts you off on the road, praise God for that, he didn't die. There's always something good in this. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We need to understand what Christ did for us.
Right.
We can't praise God unless we have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't say God unless we know Him. Unless you're using it as a cuss word.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be glorifying. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or what, soever ye do, do all to the glory of God. In Bible class this Friday, we were talking about creation. We talked about God created all things for the good, and that man in his sin corrupted it. And I got this question. So everything is good, right?
Yeah.
Even psychedelic mushrooms? And I said, you know something? God has an intended purpose for everything.
Right.
And if you don't use anything for God's intended purpose, you're wrong. And, oh, by the way, Paul says that I'm not going to be brought under control of anything. And I'm supposed to look to God and thank Him for what He's doing for me. And I can't do that without a clear head. And so if you're looking for things that can, that you think God will allow you to do, yeah, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient.
Right.
And this thing about psychedelic mushrooms, you know, you look at that thing, and it doesn't look like you should eat it. God gave you some common sense. And what you need to do is you need some use of common sense, and don't go experimenting with things that weren't meant that way.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So there you go. Okay. Everything we have to do for the glory of God. You don't get drunk for the glory of God. You don't cuss for the glory of God. You don't do things that are anti-God for the glory of God. It makes no sense. And all I also told the students, I said, you know something? What Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And you all don't.
That's right.
And you don't know the need that you need for God. So we see the actions of praise, we see the attitudes of praise, and then in verse 5 we see the adoration of praise. There are four things here that the psalmist praised God for. And the thing that we need to look for all the time is God's goodness. He says, for the Lord is good. Not was, not will be, He is.
Amen.
He's good yesterday, He's good today, He's good tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's good here. He's good at home. He's good at work. He's good anytime, anywhere.
Right.
In Psalm 107, the psalmist asked this question. Asked it multiple times. I believe there's five times that he asked this question. In Psalm 107, verse 8, which is the first occasion, it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His what? For His goodness. And for His what? Wonderful works to the children of men. And he goes on in Psalm 107. He keeps on expounding on these things. And then he comes back to this statement. Oh, that we would just praise the Lord for His goodness. See, for the Lord is good. And we need to add it in our praise. It should be adoring God for His goodness. In Psalm 27, verse 13, the Bible says this. It says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I want to tell you something. You can't find the goodness of the Lord, A, if you're not looking for it. And B, if you're looking for the negative in life instead of all the blessings and all the benefits that God has given us.
Right.
We miss it because we blind our own eyes. And if you have blinded eyes, you can't praise God because you can't adore Him. You know, oh, come let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. So our first adoration of praise is for His goodness. You know, when the young man came up to Christ and said, "Good Master, what good thing should I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." We need to realize that. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we need to praise God for His goodness. We need to praise God for His mercy. It says, His mercy is everlasting. Psalm 86, verse 15 says this, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God," what? "Full of compassion." You know what? He never runs out of it.
Right.
And I thank God that He doesn't.
Amen.
And what? "Full of grace." I thank God that He doesn't run out of it. "Long suffering." I thank God that He's patient with me. And what? "Plenteous in mercy and in truth." He's got all the mercy that you would ever need. And He's got more to spare. Because He's got mercy for all of mankind.
Right.
And we need to adore Him for that. We need to adore Him for His goodness. We need to adore Him for His mercy. We need to adore Him for His truth. And His truth endureth to all generations. In John chapter 1, verse 14, talking about Christ's incarnation, says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." God is all grace. He's all truth. He's all mercy. He's all light. He's all salvation. He's all power. He's all these things. We ought to praise God for that.
Amen.
We ought to praise God for that. Now the last thing is, we praise Him for His goodness, we praise Him for His mercy, we praise Him for His truth. And then there is two words in here that give us the last one. The first one is everlasting. And the second one is, it endureth to all generations.
Mm-hmm.
We need to praise God for His steadfastness.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't give up on us.
Amen.
Okay? You know, Job says, "Though He slay me, I will not. I will still love Him."
Mm-hmm.
I'll still follow Him.
Still,
and we need to understand that. You know, sometimes people who don't know God actually know more about God than the people of God. Back in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, after Daniel, the three Hebrew children were saved, Daniel now was saved. It says here in Daniel 6, verse 26, it says, "I make a decree," this is Nebuchadnezzar, it says, "that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for He is the living God, and steadfast forever, and His kingdom which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end." Oh, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Who? All ye lands. No one is exempt from this. Serve the Lord with gladness. If it's a drudgery to serve God, get your heart right tonight.
Amen.
Come before His presence with singing. If it's a drudgery to come in God's presence, you need to get your heart right tonight. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. If you got something that will sidetrack you from serving God, you need to get rid of it. For it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We need to understand what Christ has done for us. We are His people through Him. We need to enter into His gates with thanksgiving And if you don't have something thankful for God, you need to start being looking a little bit harder. Because it's out there. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and praise his name. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 34 verse 1 says this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's what we should be like. We should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So, are we praising God in all that we do? Or is there things that keep us away? Get rid of that tonight. Do you know him as your Savior? If not, tonight can be the day of your salvation if you surrender to Christ. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Lord, help us to praise you out of a pure heart. Help us, Lord, to praise you in all that we do. Help us, Lord, to do right things, not wrong things. Help us, Lord, to show your light in us and the hope that we have through you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.